Calling well. I also love being in a church that has a built-in climbing wall. That is very, very cool. I've not been in one before, so quite like that. I am from Edmonton. I was born in Medicine Hat. I left when I was 4 months old. I don't remember that. My family arrived in Edmonton when I was two, and I've been there ever since, give or take a couple of years, where I was in Rocky Mountain House. So although Edmonton is my home, Medicine Hat is certainly a city I'm very, very familiar with. My parents moved back here in 1996, and so I've been back and forth a lot since then. But even prior to that, I was here a lot. My family farm was just south of Medicine Hat, about 20 minutes south, so it depends upon who you talk to. My recollection is my parents dropped me off on about June the 28th and picked me up on about September 1st every year. They said I was there for a week or two every summer. And so, whatever. It doesn't matter. My point is that I know I was there a lot. And so I've been in this community quite a bit throughout the course of my life. So with that in mind, Medicine Hat is certainly a place that not only am I familiar with, I have a great affection towards. And even with the Edmonton Oil Kings in town, I'm still a Medicine Hat Tiger fan. And so, yes, my sanctification is complete and remains as such. I want to read a passage of scripture for you. This is Mark 5. It is long. I'm going to read you most of it. This is verse 21, and I'm going to carry it through right till the end. So stick with me through the whole thing, but it's pretty cool. Once again, Jesus got into the boat and crossed Lake Galilee. And then as he stood on the shore, a large crowd gathered around him. The person in charge of the Jewish meeting place was also there. His name was Jairus, and when he saw Jesus, he went up to him. He knelt at Jesus' feet and started begging him for help. He said, "My daughter is about to die. Please come and touch her so that she might get well and live." Jesus went with Jairus. Many people followed along and kept crowding around. In the crowd was a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She had gone to many doctors, and they had not done anything except cause her a lot of pain. She had paid them all the money she had had, but instead of getting better, she only seemed to get worse. The woman had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him in the crowd and barely touched his clothes. She said to herself, "If I can just touch his clothes, I will get well." And as soon as she touched them, her bleeding stopped, and she knew she was going to get well. At that moment, Jesus felt power go out from him. He turned to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "Look at all these people crowding around you. How can you ask who touched you?" But Jesus turned to see who had touched him. The woman knew what had happened. She came shaking with fear and knelt down in front of Jesus. Then she told him the whole story. Jesus said to the woman, "You are now well because of your faith. May God give you peace. You are healed and you will no longer be in pain." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from Jairus' home and said, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Jesus heard what they said and said to Jairus, "Don't worry, just have faith." Jesus did not let anyone go with him except Peter and the two brothers, James and John. When they went home with Jairus and saw the people crying and making a lot of noise, Jesus went inside and said to them, "Why are you crying and carrying on like this? The child isn't dead, she is just asleep." But the people laughed at him. Jesus had sent them all out of the house. He took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples and went where she was. He took the 12-year-old girl by the hand and said, "Little girl, get up." The girl got straight up and started walking around. Everyone was greatly surprised, but Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Then he said, "Give her something to eat." The whole resurrection of Jesus thing is really cool. And as a pastor, you're supposed to say that that's your favorite Bible story. So this is therefore number two for me. I absolutely love this story. I've spoke on it a lot over the years. And there's a reason why. We always read about Jesus being extraordinary. But in this, there is both the ordinary and the extraordinary. And this is all within a very compressed period of time, probably an afternoon or an early evening walk. So there's a crowd. One guy pulls his attention away from it. Jesus goes to heal that person's daughter. He ends up healing another woman along the way. The girl ends up dying, and Jesus raises her up from the dead. I don't know what you're doing this afternoon, but it's less significant. Like, that's an afternoon. Can you imagine that? And so this is Jesus being extraordinary. And what we learn in this is that a number of things about the power of with. At the Mustard Seed, we'll say frequently that the root of all poverty and homelessness is not stuff or a lack thereof. The root of all poverty and homelessness is a lack of relationship. And that when people lack relationship and people fall out of relationship, that is how they end up homeless and poor. Now, we can have a long debate, if you want, about why people break out of relationship. And often, there's a lot of different family dynamics and a lot of different things that happen as a result of that. But we do know that when people are in whole relationship, they're not homeless, they're not poor. And so when we look at Jesus' life, we recognize him being in constant relationship and constant community. Materially wise, Jesus was poor. Life-wise, Jesus was rich. And he always had people around him. And one of the groups of people that he had around him was this large crowd that seemed to follow him everywhere he went. And this crowd would go with Jesus. And it was very familiar to Jesus to have a large crowd around him. And he embraced the crowd. Now, there's times where he would go away in quiet, in solitude, and in silence. But we also know that Jesus embraced the crowd. And I would argue that we, too, at times need to embrace the crowd, that we need to be part of something bigger than ourselves, that this is part of understanding the power of with. Now, for those of you that are introverts, this is not a fun thing to hear. But there is a power in a crowd. And you need to be part of a crowd. And it's only when we do things together with large groups of people that things actually begin to change. That's the reason why we're so encouraged by your participation with us here in Medicine Hat. The Mustard Seed cannot come in and do this. But we, with a large we, can really make a difference in the lives of the poor people of Medicine Hat. We need a large crowd. There's this gentleman by the name of Edward. Edward comes to our drop-in in Edmonton, and one of our drop-ins, we've got four drop-ins in Edmonton. Edward comes to one of them, and has been coming to this one for years. It's been open for 31 years, this drop-in, and he's been there for a large chunk of that. Edward is very well-respected, very well-liked. At the Mustard Seed, we serve anyone. Doesn't matter who you are, what you believe, what you don't believe, what your identity is, anything like that. We serve everyone. However, as a Christian organization, we also have a lot of people that share our faith that come to us for help. Edward is one of those people, and he is not quiet about what he believes. Everybody knows it. And at times, those that don't believe that can find him a little bit annoying because he's very demonstrative about it. Yet, he's also very respected. Sits at the same table all the time, is an easy person to chat with. So Edward, who's been around a lot of years, sits at this one table. And it happens to be Edward's birthday this day. Now, one of the things that we do is we serve about 300-400 people a night at this place. And different meal groups come in. And they always bring dessert. And there's different kinds of desserts that they bring in. Sometimes they bring in an orange. You can imagine how well that goes over, an orange for dessert. Sometimes they nail it. In this case, they did. And this group brought in pudding cups. Now, pudding cups is easily the best dessert that people serve in the inner city. The reason why is because that can go with you when you leave. That's a midnight snack, that's breakfast, that's lunch the next day. They are so popular, they're used as barter material. It's a big deal to have a pudding cup. So this group served pudding cups on the day of Edward's birthday. They didn't know it was Edward's birthday, they just did. And so as this one person goes through the line and grabs his pudding cup, he walks by Edward, And he takes his pudding cup and he plops it in front of Edward and says, "Happy birthday." A couple people later, another person goes by. And 2 turns into 5, 5 turns into a dozen. And within 20 minutes, there's 60 pudding cups sitting in front of Edward. Now, the problem with this is that Edward is diabetic, so there's absolutely nothing he could do with these things. But the symbol of being in community, even when it's inner city community, the power of with, the power of being of something larger than ourselves. There's also the importance of walking with someone. Jairus is a synagogue leader. He's not a priest, but a lay leader in our context. He's an elder. He requests that Jesus lay hands on his daughter, which is absolutely associated with divine power. Now, Jesus doesn't need to show up to heal her. We read in Luke 7, that Jesus heals the centurion's son without showing up. But in this case, Jesus decides he wants to show up. And so we know that despite the large crowd impeding Jesus, Jesus wants to walk with Jairus someplace. He wants to go with him. He wants to walk with him. When at all possible, I believe it is better to walk with someone than to walk alone. When at all possible, I believe that the kingdom of God works most effectively when agencies like mine, when churches like yours, walk together rather than walk alone. I believe God works more powerfully in churches that decide to walk together than churches that decide to walk independently of each other. One of the cool things about the history of this church is your coming together to walk together. And God does great things when we walk with someone. One of the small things I do with my staff is I walk with them all the time whenever we go on meetings. Rather than sitting in an office, I'll say to them, "Let's go walk for a coffee," or "Let's just walk around the block." And our staff meeting, in our meeting that would, you know, be 20 minutes in a stuffy office, even in the middle of winter, if it's even remotely nice enough out, we'll walk outside together because the conversation is better. My kids, especially one of them, I am not allowed to go on an errand by myself. She wants to hop in the car every time. If you've got kids, if you've got grandkids, if you've got nieces and nephews, don't ever go by yourself someplace. Take them with you. Walk with somebody. Jesus walked with people. One of the people that we serve, her name is Stephanie. She was, and I'm very free to tell this story. She was actually on 100 Huntley Street, if any of you watched that show. She was in prison for 10 years for murdering her boyfriend at the time. And she came, we have run a program, it's called Reintegration. So we have a men's chaplain, a women's chaplain that work in the prisons in Edmonton, and as well as Calgary, and they help people who are coming out of prison to reintegrate in society. So if you've come out of jail and you have no job, no place to live, and no family or friends, what do you think you do? You reoffend. If you've come out of prison and you've got community, a place to live, and a job lined up, what happens? You don't reoffend. So we work with those that are coming out of prison without those things, and to give them those things so they don't reoffend. So Stephanie was coming out of prison with nothing, and we actually started a painting company at the time and hired her as a painter. Our chaplain hung around with her a lot. She became part of the community of staff of the Mustard Seed. We spent a lot of time with Stephanie. A lot of time. And all of us walked with her in our own way. It would be about a year ago when I said to Stephanie, "How you doing?" She had just started painting for us. And we don't do that program anymore, but she had just started painting for us. And I said, "How you doing?" And she said, "It's the most amazing thing, Dean. I'm so excited." And I said, "What are you excited about, Stephanie?" And she said, "I'm so excited that I got to pay taxes this month." said, for the first time ever, I'm contributing to society rather than taking away from it. That's the power of walking with someone. She has since moved on. We got her trained up, so she's now one of those highway stop slow people. She loves her job, but not that much. So I said, are you going to stick with this? And she said, no. She said, I'm going to move on. I said, what are you going to do? And she said, I'm really excited. She said, I just got accepted into Vanguard Bible College. So that's what I'm going to do. That's the power of with. And that's the power of walking with somebody. Father Gregory Boyle, a priest who runs Homeboy Ministries in LA, says this, go where love has not yet arrived and love what you find there. Love what and who you find there. The next thing we learn about Jesus through this is that we need to do things with people, not just for people. As I've already mentioned, if giving stuff would have solved our homeless and our poverty problem, it would have already ended. We can throw, and we do, we feed people, and that's important. We clothe people, and that's important. But at the end of the day, that isn't going to change anything. Jesus is walking to heal Jairus' daughter, and a woman touches his cloak. And Jesus feels the power leave him as the woman is healed. The woman was incurable for 12 years, and her condition made it so that she had to live outside of community. She's healed by Jesus, but then he does something very, very ordinary. The act of healing was extraordinary, but the ordinary thing that he does for her is give her a name, calling her daughter. This woman that had been outside of community for 12 years, in one word, is now given a name. He's given a family. She's given a family. He basically says to her, I see you for who you are, not for your condition. He did something more for her than just healing her physically. He gave her community and a place to belong. We love for, it's easy, it's in and it's out, and we feel good about ourselves. And it can be helpful and it can be necessary and it's needed. But understand this, doing something for someone is never transformational. It's only when we do something with someone that it's transformational. And it's part of why I love Oasis Cafe. You guys are doing the for part there really, really well, but it's the with part that I truly loved. I popped in there and just saw what you were doing. And there's these volunteers sitting at tables just talking to people, just getting to know them. That's with. The hot dog, the coffee, the food basket. That's why people come. But with is why they stay. And with is what transforms. The mustard seed believes in with, but we do a lot of things. And so just a brief overview, and I won't spend a lot of time on this because, you know, we have a web page and you can read it. But our vision is simply to eliminate homelessness and reduce poverty where we serve. And our mission is to do that through the love of Jesus. Our values are there, and it's the Christ-centeredness that I want to hit the hardest on this morning, just to say that the core of who we are and the why of what we do is because Jesus asked us to. And in everything we do, we remind ourselves of that we are a Christ-centered organization. We serve people in four ways. We provide basic services, that's the four. We provide support services, things like employment, that's the with. We give housing to those that are in need of it in the cities that we can offer that, as well as we invite people into spiritual care. You're not conscripted into our spiritual care programs, but we invite people into that as much as they want to receive that. And currently, we're in 5 cities, Calgary, Edmonton, Red Deer, Kamloops, and of course, as of tomorrow, Medicine Hat. And with that, the Champion Center is becoming the mustard seed, our involvement with Oasis Cafe, the great ministry that you do. And at the church building that you have, that is currently not used as much as it could, we're excited that we are going to put, we hope, in a family resource center and a wellness center to service the community of the Flats area and provide them the supports that they need. to live a life that they want to live. So, our hope with that is that we can renovate that building to be able to do that as soon as possible. Just to be blunt, we got to raise about $250,000 in capital, but we believe we can do that. And our managing director, Barry Knodel, is here this morning. And if he's feeling any pressure, that's where it's coming from. So it's okay. It's all good. A snapshot of what we did as a whole mustard seed in 2018. So this is in all four cities that we're currently in. We provided nearly 500,000 meals. We have 559 individuals that were unemployed that are now in sustainable employment, meaning they passed their probationary period. So it's not just getting people jobs, it's helping them sustain those jobs. We provided 60,000 health and wellness services, things like going to doctors, seeing a physio, seeing a psychologist, those kinds of things, which is what we want to do at the River Park Church. Provided 338 permanent supportive housing units. So those are people that were homeless that are now housed and they need supports with them 24/7 to maintain their housing. Provided 11,427 spiritual conversations. We want to talk to people about Jesus. And so we track that. Volunteers contributed 105,000 hours, which equals, by the way, about 60 full-time staff positions. So we need less donations the more people volunteer. It's a pretty cool thing. And we've partnered with 266 churches. Jean Vanier said this, "We are not called by God to do extraordinary things, but to do ordinary things with extraordinary love." And we are asking you to partner with us and to continue to partner with us to do some very ordinary things with extraordinary love. The next thing I want to talk about in Jesus' example is that we need to have people that are closest with. It's noteworthy how Jesus brings three people with him wherever he goes. When he could go alone, he chooses to go with, in part to have some witnesses, in part to teach and to train. These were his people. These were his three disciples. And I think it's important that we understand that we all need that person. There's an extraordinary story. It didn't happen at the Mustard Seed in Edmonton, but like it just shows the power of why people need people in their life. There's this gentleman that we moved in to one of our building units, and we put him on like the sixth floor, and he had been homeless for a number of years and had lived outside. And so he actually slept on his balcony for the first month because you become institutionalized to the outside. So we moved him in and eventually he slept inside. And one day as the property manager and a couple other people are walking by, all of his bedding came over the balcony. And so someone ran upstairs and knocked on the door and said, "Hey, don't throw your bedding over the balcony." He's like, "Oops, sorry, my bad." Month and a half later, property manager, a couple other people are walking by, and the gentleman threw his mattress over the balcony. So now there's a discussion to be had. What do we do with this guy? So, you know, the normal solutions were all talked about. Do we need to evict him? Do we need to put him on the first floor? You know, what do we need to do? So finally someone got the bright idea to go up and knock on his door and ask him why he kept throwing stuff over his balcony. So they go up, knock on his door, he answers the door. Like, you know, you're throwing stuff over your balcony, you shouldn't be. Why are you doing this? And he answered with two words: "You came." See, the last time anybody had visited him was the first time he had thrown his stuff over the balcony. So the solution for him wasn't to move him to the first floor. The solution was to find some people that would just be his closest with. So a couple of volunteers decided to spend an hour a week with him each. Those volunteers turned into friends. Nothing's been coming off the balcony ever since. We need people in our life to walk with us. And the last thing I want to say is that Jesus is with us in life and in death. Jesus heals the girl, and he proves it by giving her something to eat. The reason why this pops up in the Gospels quite a bit is when somebody rises from the dead, including Jesus, and we see them eating or we're being told that they ate, is because there was a belief back then that spiritual beings existed, and you could tell a spiritual being from somebody who was physically alive by whether they ate or not. So that's why Christ, that's the reason why this is here. Jesus says, give her something to eat. Jesus is saying, I didn't just spiritually raise her from the dead, I physically rose her from the dead. And she eats. While Jesus died for us, he rose so that he could be with us in life and in death. And that is the hope for each of us today, my hope for you today. That is the hope of the work of the mustard seed, ultimately, is that people would understand that Jesus walks with them, not just in death, but in life. I'll end with this story. This is about our horse therapy program, which we run at Camp Nakamin, just north of Edmonton. And, you know, it's amazing how many people have been in the downtown core for so many years. They never actually leave about a 20-block radius. And so when you bring these people out to this camp, it's extraordinary. So they go out to this camp, and they have a meal together, and then they ride horses. And there's something very therapeutic about horses. I don't need to tell folks from Medicine Hat that. But folks from Edmonton do need to know that. And so we bring people out there, and we teach them how to ride, how to groom, how to saddle up, how to bridle, how to do everything. And this is from our chaplain about one individual. There's a man I've known now for almost 3 years. His name is Robert. And when I first knew him, he was not doing so well. Feeling very lonely and lost, Robert turned to drugs to numb the pain. Robert started coming to most of my Christian programs, and after a year, he stated he was no longer taking drugs. I supported him and told him about my Friday group sessions, and he signed up for our horse program. It is now in the second year of the horse program for Robert, and I sat down with him the other day to support him and tell him how proud I was of him. This is what Robert said to me about our journey together over the last few years. I was a mess when I first came to the mustard seed, ready to kill myself. I even tried to, but I couldn't do that well either. Then I heard about your Bible studies and that you let everyone talk and have input. So I came, not caring about God at that moment, but hoping to find compassion and caring. I needed emotional and physical support. I found it and felt safe, so I started going to group on Fridays. With help, I came out of my haze and felt good about myself for the first time in years. I didn't know anything about my spirit or God, and then I discovered the horse program. Just getting out of the city was so nice. I felt free and like an adventure was about to begin. After having a meal with people I had come to know was my time to go on the horse. I'd never been on one and was a little apprehensive. But there was a creature of God, powerful, and after we figure each other out, I was sitting on this animal accomplishing something. This is something that I haven't felt in a long time, a feeling of accomplishment. I can ride a horse. When I got home that night, I decided I was going to live. You know how powerful that statement is from somebody that lives alone and in isolation? I decided I wanted to live and make the most out of my life. Maybe I'm a little late at figuring this out, but having people interested in you and helping you was what I needed. And I came to understand that my Lord knew this all too well and was guiding me. Yes, it took a while, but I would call myself a follower of Jesus. When we do our job right and we walk with someone, there's incredible power. Do you know the power of within your life? Of Christ being with you, of choosing to live with others, of choosing not to do just something for someone, but to long alongside someone. And to do that, not just with those that are easy, but to walk with the marginalized and the hurting. The mustard seed chooses as an agency to live out this as best as we can. But we need you and are so grateful that you are choosing to do this with us. And I'm very, very confident that the partnership between River Valley Community Church and the Mustard Seed will result in the expansion of the kingdom of God. Thank you for joining us in this mission. Let's pray. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for River Valley Community Church. Thank you for a leadership that is fantastic and was so incredibly easy to work with. And thank you, most importantly, for our heart within the leadership and in the congregation as a whole that recognizes that there are those that are marginalized, those that are hurting, and as a church community, as a Christian community, we are called to walk alongside them, not in a way that they feel judged, but or looked down on or pitied, but in a way that they feel loved, that they feel worth, and in a way that they know that someone is walking with them. And so may the kingdom of God expand, may the love of Jesus be known, and may Medicine Hat be transformed into a community that knows you. And I ask this in your name. Amen.
Could you just join me?
Yeah.
Dean? And Barry and Marlene, could you guys come up here too? Guy and gal. You know, as you were speaking this morning, just unfolding the ministries of the mustard seed, wow, the old heart starts beating more and more and more and melting, just melting. And maybe that's true for many of you here this morning, too. And so we want to pray for God's blessing, for God's strength and wisdom and courage, for God's grace, for God's to be everything as the mustard seed is for people, that God will be everything like that for you folks too, as you continue to pour out yourselves for the sake of others. This is a new endeavor for Medicine Hat. Now, these kinds of ministries have been going on in different churches for a long time. My hope and prayer is that there would be many, many churches that would partner more and more with the mustard seed and with each other to see the unity in the body of Christ come to greater fulfillment within our city. That's the Father's heart. And the Father's heart is beating for you folks. So we want to pray over you if you're okay with that this morning. Yeah. And maybe there are some of you here who just really feel that you'd want to just be up here and maybe lay hands on these folks too. You're okay with that too? If anyone just feels that you would like to do that, just be close to these folks and pray with them, lay a hand on them, and bless them in prayer. You just come on up. And we're going to close this time in, I guess, a kind of, from our perspective, from River Heart's, from River Valley's perspective, a bit of a commissioning. And we trust that that'll be true for all the churches in Medicine Hat as well. But we just love that you're coming to Medicine Hat and that you are here. Let's pray for these folks. Heavenly, let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that we've heard this morning. We thank you for the words that we've sung from our hearts in worship. And we thank you for the words that we've heard from Dean this morning. Wow. A very simple and beautiful and profound story of this young girl being healed, brought back to life. Father, there are so many in our city that need to be given their life back. Yes. And there are many people in our churches that need to have their life back. And so we pray for these folks. We pray for Dean and his family, as Dean spends a lot of time traveling out of Edmonton to various locations to buttress up and encourage and just bless the works that are going on and to work at bringing groups together throughout the province. Give him much wisdom and joy as he does so. Be with his family, his wife and children, the stages of life that they're all in. Father, we pray that your hand of protection and provision and grace would be with each one of them. Thank you for what they all do together as a family. Thank you for Barry and Marlene. And as they've taken on this role, as Barry has taken on this mantle of leading the Mustard Seed and Medicine Hat, Father, we pray for him and for Marlene together, that the way would become clearer and clearer for them. So many things, so many meetings, so many needs, so many opportunities. We pray for just clarity of mind and continue to bring those around them that need to be a part of this ministry. We think of the young gal who's going to be coming in October as well to do programming here and establish things. Father, we pray for her too, that you would just surround her and help her through the process of the move to Medicine Hat. But for Barry and Marlene, we pray for your grace and wisdom, provision, and joy in what they're embarking on in these days. We pray for the open house tomorrow evening. We pray that there would be receptivity, that there would be greater understanding, that people would see that this is not something that is going to be detrimental to a neighborhood, but this will only bring life to the neighborhood and all those who participate. We pray for those corporations, businesses, individuals, that, Father, that you will tap them on in their hearts and on their shoulders to give financially, to give of their time in volunteering, the churches as well, that you will call out to be part of supporting this group. And may this be just an amazing avenue of unity within the city of Medicine Hat. We thank you for what you've done already to this point. We thank you that this is an answer to prayer, and this prayer is going to be answered every day from here on in, and in greater and greater ways. And so, Father, we thank you and praise you for all of these opportunities and for the mustard seed right around the province and in Kamloops and wherever else they might reside, or the dreams that you bring to the leaders to establish further works. We pray for success for the things that they put their hands and their hearts to, because we know it's in the name of Jesus, and it's for your kingdom's sake. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. And the Lord bless every one of you as you go from this place. Go with open hearts, big hearts, to serve the Lord wherever you work and live. Bless you.